They tried to mess me up early this morning. I appreciate it. You're worthy of it all. So Christ, he is our King. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, once again, we just thank you for your strength right now, Lord. As I give your people strength from your word, help us, no matter what we are going through, to see more of you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, before you're seated, just shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He's worthy of it all. You know, this morning, everything is just leading to pretty much the same thing that I had, I thought I had, I made changes that I had. So, Lord, what do you want me to change to now? But, you know, I was just thinking, so much has been happening. Within that, I can go back maybe a year better in this place, not talking about outside, that affect members in this place. I just remember in the testimonies last week, that's why I enjoy your testimonies. I don't care how many times you give that testimony, somebody needs to hear it. And every time you get it, it'll affect me a little bit more. See, things that are happening, and so many people won't give that testimony. But I thank for the testimony from Maria, I think, gave the testimony last week. And man, I tell you the truth. She mentioned something about at one point in her life just ready to give up. But I tell you, it happens more enough to some of us in here that we care, don't want people to know about. I know of some other cases, but I'm waiting for their testimony. But God. So much is happening, we wonder what is going on. It has been one thing after another for over a short period of time. And see, you'll be amazed at the people who come in here, the pressures it took them, the problems they went through to get here. But bless God, they were here. And the people, we can't say that, oh, they stayed out. They should have been here, but I don't know what they're going through. We don't know what they're going through, so you can't judge them. You know, one thing after another over a short period of time, causing us to say, as Marvin Gaye puts it, what's going on? So many tears, so many unanswered questions, one thing after the other. And many of you know what it is to have one thing after another, to struggle with the pain of life realities. And it's inescapable. You just can't get away from it. And if you have not been yet living a life that's just been happening to, all I can say is keep living. Because life has a way of throwing curveballs, the unexpected, and sometimes you even get hit by a pitch. God's word was struggling, and I tell you, these people, and as you turn to Isaiah chapter 40, these people were struggling in this chapter. And a lot of things that they were struggling with, we are struggling with today, even sometimes more so. Prophesied the Babylonian activity, and they were asked in verse 27 of Isaiah 40. And he says, why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escape, and the notice of my God? What they are asking is, God, what's going on? God, where are you? I don't see you. In my pain, you're not there. Your way is hidden from me. Where are you, Lord? You don't see me. You don't know what I'm dealing with. Because if you saw it, you would not let it happen this way. This way, this long, and this much. Justice due me, it's not fair. I shouldn't be hurting like this, crying like this, struggling like this, discouraged like this. Lord, where are you? These people were having a tough time. And while we can all be all spiritual and pretend that we never think that way, There are those times in our lives when God seemed to be suspiciously absent. Job put it this way. He says, I looked north, I couldn't find him. I looked east, I couldn't find him. I looked west, I kept looking, I couldn't find him. The absenteeism of God, the sense that my way is hidden from him. He doesn't see what I see, feel what I feel, understand what I'm going through. And while we can intelligently know better, it doesn't change the broken hearts, the shed tears, utter humongous pain of life, reality. See, these people thought that God had failed them, that he relinquished on his covenant promise. He says, where you push the panic button and you feel let down, where you are no longer singing the gospel, you're singing the blues. Because sadness has taken over, celebration is just not in your emotions right now. They needed God to intervene in their circumstances that was causing them pain. I don't know what your circumstances are today, whether it's unfulfilled dreams, desires, or pains, or hurts that won't go away. That is what these people were facing. Lord, where are you? When my world is falling apart. Hallelujah. When God speaks into their situation, he does not speak scientifically, technologically, academically. He speaks theologically because he raises the issue in verse 38. We're still in Isaiah 40, verse 38. Verse 28, sorry. Do you not know? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the love creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary and tired? His understanding is inscrutable. He says, when your world is real, Pastor Rick, members of God's Miracle Church, is falling apart, this is not the time to run from him. This is the time to run toward him. He said, do you not know? And then he throws in a theological concept that we must keep in the front of our minds. His everlasting and understanding is inscrutable. And he is the creator, everlasting, omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful, eternal. You must retreat to the character of God in this crisis of life, regardless of your emotions and I don't care what circumstances you're in. When you begin to think like that, you have to know who he is. That's why when you read the Bible, when you first read chapters, God always makes himself to you. Know who I am. Because what they're going to go through, and he knows what they're going to go through. He said, this is what you have to retreat to when your mind gets all weary and well-doing and thinking I'm lost. We have to know who he is. Their emotions are sad. They want to know where God is. And when life hits you and you are looking for God and you don't see him, you have to retreat to what you know. He is the everlasting, which means he is not limited to time and space. He is creator, so his power is able to oversee, overrule anything. His understanding is inscrutable. He is, I hope this is a word, unfigureoutable. Sheila, we make up words, don't we? In other words, you can't figure this man out. Yeah. Let me serve notice on you right now. God is hard to understand. Hey, all the amen's gone. God is hard to understand. He can be, extraordinarily confusing. His understanding is inscrutable. He doesn't always add up. You think he's going one way, and he throws a curveball at you. He doesn't make sense sometimes. Deuteronomy 29 and 29 says, God has secret things, things that he doesn't tell anybody, things that he chooses not to explain. Sometimes he will explain. Sometimes he will give you reasons. Other times he will hold it close to himself, either for a time or for all times. You can ask God a question, but you can't be questioning God. Let me say that again. You can ask God a question, but you can't question God. Now, what's the difference? To ask him a question is to say, will you help me to understand this, or will you help me to understand that? The question, to question God, is to challenge him. You can ask a question, but don't question him. Your children can ask you a question, but that is different than your children challenging you. When you question God, you are challenging him. When you ask a question, you may or not answer. When you challenge, you're demanding an answer. Y'all understand that? God will allow a question. He will not allow a challenge. His understanding is inscrutable. You try to figure out God, to figure out what he's trying to say, to reveal stuff to you when he's not doing it. I think Pastor Tony mentioned this. You can buy all of, you can go to Walgreens. Get all the Bell Aspirins, Excedrin PMs you want. Yeah. All the Walgreens has to deal with the headache of his inscrutable ability. He says, you have to understand this, because if you do not understand it, when your world is unraveling, and then you will fall prey to the circumstances and not to the Creator, everlasting God, who is overseeing your circumstances. I must admit, I have had my series of asking questions. Why this? Why this much? Why this now? Why this in light of all these other prayers I have prayed? My questions, I have to back up. Because sometimes you asking questions can move to questioning God. Then I have to back up and get out of that territory, because that's territory I'm getting ready to go in that I'm not allowed to be in. I asked a question. I can't question, because it's up to him what he will explain and what he will refuse to explain. And if he refuses to explain it, it is because of his sovereign knowledge. It's best for us not to know it.
Amen.
Don't we do that when we answer some questions by our children and others? We don't bother to answer, because they wouldn't understand. They wouldn't appreciate it or benefit from it. Maybe then, but maybe I tell them later, when they're able to understand. See, these people here were in crisis. And this chapter, a chapter worth reading over and over again. I have had to read this chapter, because I had to, oh, Lord, what are you saying? Chapter 40 of Isaiah chapter 40, the whole chapter is really worth reading over and over again.
Amen, amen.
Let me just read just a few more verses from this chapter. Let's go to Isaiah 40, 18. It says, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare with him? Verse 19, as for the idol, a craftsman casts it. He says, Don't go away from God to something God made, because that's an idol. He says, who do you liken to me? You are going to go to something I made and try to get from something I made information that I'm not giving you. He says in verse 22, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers who stretches out from the heavens like the curtain that spreads them out like the tent to live in. He sits over the earth. He is not in it. He is over it, saints.
Amen. Amen.
Verse 25. To whom then will you compare me to that I would be his equal? He says, the Holy One. He says, let me help you out. He's going to help us out now. Verse 26. Raise your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The one who brings out their multitude by number, he calls them by name.
Yes, he does.
Do you know how many stars there are? Millions of stars. He says, number one, I created them all. Number two, I got a name for each one of them, and I have never forgotten any one of their names. And thirdly, because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. And they are not allowed to fall from heaven. He created them, named them, and told them, stay there. So he is powerful to make stars, but he is also personal to know each one by name. So he is a big God up there. He is an intimate God down here. He is a God who created, but he is a God who still knows our name. He says, who you know that can do that? Whom do you liken unto me? When my world, your world, our world is collapsing and life seems would just happen, it happens unfortunately, he says, you run to that God, not from him. You don't go to anything that competes with me. If you do, that's idolatry. You don't position God in an inferior location just because life collapsed on you. A low view of God in this crisis means crisis will control and own you. A high view of God, it means that the crisis has no longer the last word.
Come on.
Do not settle for the creation. Don't go looking at the stars for your horoscope. He says, I made those stars. They don't dictate your future. I dictate your future. I am king. I'm not Burger King where you can have it your way. He says, I want you to recognize me even in the crisis. But we live in a day of, I used the word dumbing down God. To God who only blesses, and he lives to bless us, deliver us, empower us, but not a God who dictates to us. We live in a day where if we give you 2 hours a Sunday, God, you ought to be happy with that. And so when the world caves in, and we are not used to dealing with the character of this God, we got all these blame games on God. Because he is the God who, when times are up, he is also reminding me that he is also God when times are down. He is God when babies are born. He is still God when your mate is deceased. He is still God when both scenarios for you to make through any scenario.
Thank you, thank you.
He must be God and treated and respected as such. And so he says, do you not know? Do we not know this? In this chapter, he says, I run the nations. The nations are like a drop in my bucket. And the rulers, I control them like a speck of dust. So there is only one God, and he is not applying for the job. So as life caves in, and at it for some of us over the last year, I know some have had difficult times. I'm praying that God give you the strength from this word, that you have strength. I don't care what comes on in addition to that. We have the power to get through it. Without thinking of other alternatives. You know, you wrestle with God. Where my questions is my way hidden from the Lord. I've had to wrestle with God. I had to retreat to what I know about him in spite of the circumstances I face. You don't deny the circumstances, but your circumstances don't have the last word.
Amen. Amen.
Verse 31. Still in Isaiah chapter 40, it says, yet those who wait for the Lord will regain new strength.
Yes.
He says, when life caves in, my way is hidden from the Lord. And justice and fairness do me, this is not fair what happened. It's not fair. This happened now. It's not fair. And I'm getting through this. It's not fair.
It's not fair.
He says, what I want you to do is to wait on the Lord. Now the question is, what does that mean? What does that mean? I looked it up in the Hebrew word. Wait. It's very picturesque. All of you ladies know it. And this was maybe a few years ago. I would say only ladies knew it. But today, ladies and men know it because the word means to plait. Or to braid,
okay.
Or to intertwine. Okay. I use the word plait because girls, they know about plaiting and braiding the hair. Nowadays, men do that. Nothing wrong with it, brother. They intertwine sections of hair so that they tie together in a tight way. When you straighten your hair, it's loose and hanging down. When you plait your hair, it has collected and tightly tied together. That is, it is no longer subject to the blowing wind. Just give me time now. Because it has been tightened together, it was used of a rope where the strands were intertwined to make a stronger rope. So when he says, wait on the Lord, he is talking about passively sitting down, not sitting down, doing nothing. He is talking about plaiting your life, intertwining your life with your God. He wants you to wrap it in everything to entwine with him. He wants us to wrap him around us in our problems, in our circumstances. So I need to be tied with the God I met on Sunday because it's going to last me all week long. And I'm going to wait on the Lord. It is a hookup that we don't want to be disconnected from. See, when you're intertwined like that in the Lord, I don't care what comes. Children are not here, but you know what I'm talking about. Blank and high water. We will not be loose from that. Just because God hadn't fixed it yet. That's why he tells us to wait. Wait. Patiently wait on the Lord. In addition to that, that means not to go outside of God to fix it. See, you don't know. I've learned a lot about people because temptations, when you're in a crisis that is knocking you down, it looks like it's not going to help you. You have no other options. And when you feel and think God is not doing anything, they say, my way is hidden from the Lord. Maybe we don't see God doing anything because we haven't planted our lives around him. We just paid him a visit on Sundays. And therefore, waiting is just waiting without his presence being experienced. We don't like waiting. We want things now. I'm in a hurry. No traffic. But I come to a red light. I don't like waiting at red lights. I go to the doctor's office. My appointment is 2:30. We don't like to wait, not even in the doctor's office. And yes, it is real that when your life collapses on you, God is hard to find like a pilot in a small plane. He was flying some passengers. The plane engine started to sputter. It was only one parachute. The pilot put the parachute on, went to the door, and the pastor says, hey, where are you going? He says, I'm going to get some help. I'll be right back. Sometimes it feels like God has bailed out on you. When you're in a crisis. But when you look at scriptures, and I think somebody mentioned something, I think it was you, Pastor Mike. When you look at scriptures, Sarah had to wait for a baby. Noah had to wait for the flood. Joseph had to wait longer in prison. Martha and Mary had to wait for the resurrection. The disciples had to wait for the Holy Spirit. We are waiting on the return of Christ. Hannah had to wait for a baby. Ruth had to wait for a husband. You find people waiting, but when the thing happened that God wanted to happen, those people were connected only when the connection was there. When they had planted themselves, did they experience whatever God had for their situation. How do you know that you're waiting on God this way? Because the majority of your time you spend in worshiping, not complaining. You spend your time worshiping and not complaining. Why? Because God inhabits the worship and the praise and admiration of his people. Psalms 130. Verses 5 and 6, I'll probably just read 5. You get the point. It's 5 and 6. Says, you wait on the Lord with his word.
Amen.
If you are hurting today and life has collapsed, read Isaiah 40 and read Psalms 42. As a matter of fact, read all the Psalms. Because They're great because there's so many different scenarios for God to remind you of who you are. God, I need your character. God, I need your presence. I'm looking for you. I'm wrapped up in you because my circumstances have wrapped me up. In the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 25 and 26, it talks about how good it is to those who wait on the Lord, on God, for his divine intervention. However he chooses to do that. And if you wait this way, you are not passively waiting, passively sitting down doing nothing. You are just not outside, going outside of God to fix it. You are not untangling yourself. You are platted yourself with him. You are not straightening your hair so the circumstances can blow it. You are plaiting it so that it is tight, because that's how desperate you are. And by the way, it's sometimes difficult to decide to go to God when you're in need. You need to have the practice of planning before you go in to talk to him about your need. You have to prepare yourself.
Amen.
You have to consider, one time I said you have to consider yourself worthy to be in his presence. You see, some folks want to get close to God because they are in a crisis. The idea is to choose to get close to God before you hit the crisis, so you are already prepared for the crisis when it hits. I got the approval from the family here, and I think somebody who set a real good example for us to follow. You have people here who are now setting that example. But you say, some people may say, are you real? This word? Well, my example is Pastor Scott. How many know Pastor Scott?
Amen.
She was already close to God. She could cry out to him. She could see him. She could praise him. Although life was leaving her body, she didn't have to find him. She was already hooked up and planted with him.
Amen.
What will God do in your questions? Not questioning, but questions when you don't cross the line. Well, he does promise to answer every question. He doesn't have to. He doesn't promise to give you an understanding of everything as bad as you want it. It's his sovereignty, sovereign will. I like to say it's his prerogative. How much he gives you and how much he holds. But he does promise you something. He says, those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength.
Amen.
New strength means strength that you didn't currently have. Because as you know, when you go to a crisis, crisis can drain your strength.
Yes.
Crisis can send you to bed and make you not want to get up. Wake you up in the middle of the night and it sucks. These crises, they keep bugging. It just sucks. Your energy went. And it won't leave you alone. Your energy is gone. It's just the illness. That's what it feels like. But the crisis drains everything out of you. But he says, if you wait on me, I will give you new strength. Remember, he gave us new strength because we didn't have the strength. We lost it. We all have charge phones. Telephone charges for our telephones. That's because they lose strength. They run down power. Leaves what we got to do. You know, if you don't put it on the charger and leave it there, it's a new phone. It could be brand new, but it won't work. So we have chargers. And we put it on the charger to get new strength. As the phone sucks in the electrical power, it becomes new again. The phone works, but it can't work without the power. But because of the day's usage, it loses power. But when you wait on a charger, it's got to wait. It has to sit there and wait. You just can't plug it in. Okay, I tried it. Still ain't had no power. We had to wait. The phone had to wait. And when God gives you new strength, you will see it in one of three ways. The first way is that God gives you new strength. It's his divine intervention. He talks about the eagle. I think you talked about the eagle too, I believe. I'm not sure. But when the eagle kicks the eaglet out at first, it's trying to learn how to fly. Usually the first time, it can't fly because it doesn't know yet how to flap its wings and get adjusted to things. But he's trying to make it. Anybody here flapping, trying to make it? Because what the eagle will do when it sees the eaglet falling and it's not going to make it, the eagle swoops down, open up its wings, catches the eaglet on the wings and lift him back to the nest. One way God gives you new strength is by swooping down into your situation, grabbing you and lifting you out of it. It's when God supernaturally intervenes and blows your mind by turning something around which was driving you crazy. So he was switching something, reversing something. And that's when you get the praise on. You said, oh, God is good, and God is good. What? And all the time, God is good. You be jumping and praising how good God is because he came out of nowhere like an eagle's wind and came into your situation and picked you out of it. There's a second way God gives you new strength. He said also they will run and not get, we said weary, but run and not get tired. God gives you new strength when he doesn't swoop down and take you out of it. The second way is he lets you run through it. He says, you're going to run, but I'm going to give you second wind so you can keep going. I'm going to let you run, and I'm not going to swoop down to make it disappear, but I'm going to let you run through it. Of all you can get, Eric gave me a pass for, I think, Gold's Gym. And I first went in there, and I was on the treadmill. That was the first thing, we had a whole line of those. And it was on the treadmill. And the thing about that, he had other pieces of equipment. I know I'm still buff, but you know. Hey, what can I say? All right, don't you open your mouth. And it was somewhere during the time of the pandemic, I used to try to go twice a week. And I didn't like the way that people just said get left little posters where you can take your thing and wipe the machinery down, a piece that you're using, piece of equipment down. And I didn't like the way they were doing it because I see guys are sweaty. They'll leave it there and walk to another machine. I said, well, I hit those treadmills. You got me. I stayed on the treadmill. Every now and then I pick up something else. And you get on the treadmill, knows what it is, and knows what it is. It took me a minute because when I first got there, you know, I would hold on to the thing and set my little time, getting used to it, and just walking, you know, just going along. Then I started getting good. I speeded up a little bit and let my hands go. Yeah. And then, oh, man. And then I saw somebody get beside me, and they were, oh, hey, I can do that. Running. Yeah. Yeah, don't y'all get jealous. I said that some years ago now. And one way I could run longer, you see, they had these TV sets on the screen up on high so everybody can see, right in front of this red mills. And in order for me to run, and I didn't, you know, get tired. I mean, run for a little while, but I noticed when I watched maybe it'd be the news on, it may be some story on or something on, I would focus on that while I was running. I was stepping. And when I was going to the gym, I reached and watch however the TV, whatever was on the news. Usually if the news on, I'd be looking, because that's the one I'm facing closely anyway. And by focusing on the news, I can run longer with the breathing. And if I'm just and don't have another focus, I'm thinking about running. And so when I get tired of running, I get up. But when I had the TV to focus on, I kept going a little while longer. And I get a second wind, a second way. It says, if you focus on me, even though you are running, I will give you second wind. Amen. So you can go further with this situation, further with the pain, further with the problem, that you can just go further. Because I'm going to give you a second wind. But there's another way that he gives us new strength. First of all, I told you he can swoop down like an eagle and pick you up and carry you out of it and take care of your situation. Then secondly, I told you can run. He said you can run and not get weary. And when you focus on God and you're tied up and wrapped up in him, he calls you to run. He gives you new strength. And see, when you're on a treadmill, you have to stop sometime and just start walking and let your heart and everything catch down to your pace you're running. With God, it does the same thing. But it's not with any work that you have to do, just being wrapped up and tied up in him. He says, I will give you new strength. You can run and not be weary. Then I tell you, there is first way, second way, and there's a third way. You can no longer run. He says, they are walking on the third way. When you are on a treadmill and you are running, and you finish running, you just don't jump off. You have to walk. You have to walk in order for things to settle down. You have to walk for the benefit of the heart slowing down. Because if you just jump off, your heart beating, you haven't given it a chance to make the adjustment to the pace. You sometimes, life gets so hard, you can't run. And you have been left to walk. That is divine encouragement when you're left to walk. That is divine encouragement. That's when God doesn't change the situation. He changes you in the problem. He doesn't fix it. He doesn't turn it around like you prayed. He doesn't fix it. He doesn't turn it around like you prayed, but he does something in you that no longer matters. Hallelujah. That he no longer is the situation. He brings a person in your life to give you encouraging words. He will bring a song on the radio or through the choir to inspire you. There will be a sermon that you thought was prepared only for you. That's when all he is doing is just encouraging you and nothing has changed. Except because of sometimes God puts us in a position to accept something he doesn't intend to change. And so all we can do is walk because your running ability is over. But in all three ways, he does one thing. He's given us new strength.
Hallelujah.
I would like to say he only does the eagle thing. That's not true.
Amen.
There are plenty of times when you know he doesn't swoop down and immediately take you out of a circumstance.
Amen.
I would love to say that he's going to give you something to focus on. So that's going to get you through. And you're going to have to run. If you're going to win, you got to run. But sometimes life just get tired. Things doesn't change. But you always have encouraging words. You listen to a sermon. You're going through it. But it takes your mind off of what you're going through. Because God says, through my word, I'm going to give you new strength. So what it does, we forget about what we are going through because we are tied to him. Whatever time he has, if he doesn't change it, some time ago I says, we serve, put God first. From the beginning of life, when you first found him, until the end, he said, don't give up nowhere in between. I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
Stick with him from beginning to end.
That's right.
They that wait upon the Lord will get new strength. And so I say to you today, and I say to me today, don't give up. And run to him, not from him.
Hallelujah.
In the crisis of life, I have to remind myself to do every day. I'm running, not running from him. Something comes up, I'm running to him. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, right now in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for your word. Lord, I just thank you for the songs that we've sung this morning. I thank you for your presence being here in the very beginning of service, Lord. I thank you for all that you're doing with these your people, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for just all that you're doing as far as right now, as far as taking care of that situation the way that you want to take care of it, moving them from the hurt and pain and the struggles that you are allowing to happen, but you're trying to teach us sometime. You want our attention to be on you. All the time you want it, but sometimes we have to go through a little something until it comes in our heart. That's okay, Lord, I can't do it without you. And we want to plant ourselves, entwine ourselves, braid ourselves like a rope wrapped around you. And Father, I thank you for touching each mind that has difficulty going through things this morning, Lord. Thank you for knowing they have to plant themselves, to entwine themselves, wrap up in you, braid themselves in you, so that you can handle what you need to handle in your time. In Jesus' name, let your church say amen.